Hello friends, welcome to VSchool once again. We are on unit number 4. In the previous 3 units, we learnt about basic concepts in GST. Then we also looked into registration, the different types of registration. We also understood the procedures that are involved under GST laws. And now it's the time for learning about assessments and returns, a very important chapter to understand whether you are complying the GST's laws or not. The learning objectives of Unit 4 is to understand the terms and concepts of assessment, furnishing details of outward and input inward supply. Even though this has to be done electronically, there are certain timelines, or else the SSE has to face penalty. Then we'll understand the matching and reversal input credit. The concepts of annual returns and final returns. These are very important returns that has to be filed. And the problems on assessment of tax and tax liability. So this chapter is going to give you a substantial idea about the concepts of assessment and returns. So before we go into depth of assessment, let us first understand what is an assessment. The term assessment simply means determination of tax liability. So whatever transactions, supply transactions that are made, based on that, whether the tax that has to be paid has been paid or not, that snapshot would be provided in assessment. So assessment means determination of tax liability under the Central Goods and Service Tax Act 2017. And when we talk about assessment, there can be different types of assessment, like self-assessment, reassessment, provisional assessment, summary assessment, as well as the best judgment assessment. Now, what do you understand by determination of tax liability? The tax liability of a person is the amount of tax to be paid by a person during the tax period. So this tax period can be monthly, this tax period can be full year. There are basically two types of assessment. The first assessment is done by the taxable person himself, for example, the self-assessment, and the second type of assessment is done by the tax authorities. This is generally done after the self-assessment, or if there is an irregularity in the assessment, or the taxable person has not done assessment on himself, by himself. So, two types of assessment. Number one, assessment by the taxable person. Number two, assessment by the tax authorities. Now let us look at each assessment one by one. Every registered taxable person must assess the tax payable by himself or herself and furnish a relevant return for each tax period. The types of returns to be furnished have been specified in the GST Acts. For example, a registered regular dealer must furnish Form GST R3 on a monthly basis and Form GST R9 annually basis. So this has been clearly specified as to which form has to be filled monthly basis, which form has to be filled annually basis. Once we understand the assessment that is done by the taxable person himself, that is a self-assessment, then subsequently the tax authorities also have different kinds of assessment. We can classify them into 4 broad categories: a provisional assessment, the scrutiny assessment, the best judgment assessment, and the summary assessment. Let us look at this one by one. What is a provisional assessment? If a taxable person is unable to to determine the value of goods and or services or determine the rate of tax applicable. In that scenario, the person can request an officer to allow him to pay tax on a provisional basis. For example, a registered person manufactures a new product for which the HSN code and the tax rate are not available. So how will his confusion be clarified? In this case, the person can seek a provisional assessment of the tax payable by him for his product and accordingly make the payment. So provisional assessment is a specific arrangement made for a taxable person who is unable to determine the value of goods or services. The officer, once he receives such request for provisional assessment, shall pass an order within a period not later than 90 days from the date of receipt of such receipt, from the date of such request, allowing the person to pay the tax on a provisional basis. So there is a time period for the proper officer also. The rate of tax and the taxable value will be specified by the officer. So that is the basis for which the taxable person has made a request to the proper officer. The officer must pass the final assessment order within 6 months from the date of the provisional assessment order. There can be interest on additional tax payable because such assessments are done on a provisional basis. The person would be liable to pay interest on any additional tax payable under provisional assessment but not paid on the due date, that is 20th of the month. Interest will be liable from the 21st of the month till the date of actual payment, irrespective of whether the amount is paid before or after the final assessment order. If the person is eligible for a refund, as per the final assessment order, interest will be paid on the refund amount. After understanding what a provisional assessment is, now let us look into what is a scrutiny assessment. An officer can examine the return and other information furnished by a person to verify the correctness of the return. So that is a basic work done by a proper officer of verifying the correctness of the return. However, if the officer notices any discrepancy, he will inform the person and seek his explanation. If the person is not giving a satisfactory explanation, then the proper officer will proceed further for making a scrutiny assessment. If the explanation is satisfactory, then no further action will be taken. In case no satisfactory explanation is given within 30 days of being informed, or if the person does not make corrections in the return after accepting discrepancies, the officer will initiate appropriate action. For example, as a part of regular scrutiny assessment, an officer examines form GSTR3 filed by the registered person. And if he gets any doubt regarding the transaction value and tax levied in certain transactions, the officer will seek an explanation from the dealer. So, the basic difference between a provisional assessment and a scrutiny assessment: in a provisional assessment, the person seeks advice. In case of a scrutiny assessment, the officers find some discrepancy and initiates action if there is no satisfactory explanation provided by the person. The third type of assessment, again done by tax authority, is the best judgment assessment. An officer will assess the tax liability of a person to the best of his or her judgment under two scenarios. Number one, the assessment of non-filers of returns and the assessment of unregistered persons. There is a difference between non-filers and unregistered persons. Non-filers belong to the category who are supposed to file on their capacity as a registered person. An unregistered person means who are eligible to get themselves registered, but they have not registered themselves and are not filing the returns. Let us look at both these circumstances one by one. The first one is assessment of non-filers of returns. If a person fails to furnish a return, even after a notice is served to the person, an officer will assess the tax liability of the person to the best of his judgment. All the relevant material which is available or which the officer has gathered will be taken into account. The officer will then issue an assessment order within 5 years from the due date of filing of the annual return for the year in which the tax return was not filed. So this is a timeline, this is a basis, and this is how the assessment will be done by the proper officer. If the person furnishes the return within 30 days from the assessment order, the assessment order will be withdrawn. Let us understand this with an example. A regular dealer does not furnish form GSTR 9 for a financial year, even after receiving a notice from the tax department. In such a case, the officer will initiate the best judgment assessment to assess the tax payable by the person. So this is part one when we talk in terms of assessment of non-filers of return. Let us look at part two, assessment of unregistered persons. If a taxable person fails to obtain registration, even though he or she is liable to do so, remember our previous unit, we had clearly mentioned who are required to register themselves. So if such persons who are required to register fail to obtain registration, even though they are liable to do so, then an officer will assess the tax liability of the person to the best of his judgment for the relevant tax period and issue an assessment order within 5 years from the due date of filing of the annual return for the year in which the tax was not paid. So it is purely on the basis of judgment of the officer, assessment will be worked and tax should be paid. For example, during an inspection, an officer finds that a person has not registered under GST, though his turnover exceeds the threshold limit. The officer will initiate a best judgment assessment and assess the tax liability of the person. And accordingly, the person will have to register as well as pay the tax. The fourth type of assessment done by the tax authority is the summary assessment. These are certain special cases. How summary assessment is initiated? The officer finds an evidence. What is the evidence? Evidence showing tax liability of the person which comes to his notice, and this findings is done with the permission of the additional or joint commissioner. The officer assesses the tax liability to protect the interest of the revenue. So summary assessment's main objective is to protect the interest of revenue. And in such scenarios, the officer will issue an assessment order, and if he has sufficient grounds to believe that there is a delay in doing so, and it can adversely affect the interest of revenue, then such officer will proceed with the summary assessment. For example, on the basis of GSTR 3 filed by registered regular dealer, an officer initiates summary assessment. As he finds enough evidence to believe that a significant loss of revenue can be recovered from the person. So here again the main cause is the officer believes that there is a significant evidence of revenue loss to the government, and hence such officer initiates a summary assessment. Now, having understood the assessments that are done by the registered person as well as by the tax authorities, the taxpayer have to follow or take certain precautions. It is important for a taxable person to be aware of different types of assessments under GST and adhere to the compliance requirement. Just because he feels that he is not eligible, just because he feels that a particular transaction does not attract GST, he won't get away with that belief, because there is a mechanism which actually checks and verifies every transaction. And since all the transactions are done online and captured online on GST portal, transactions of both the suppliers as well as the receiver of goods and services, the proper officer has all details to verify. And in this process, whatever the belief system of the supplier, whether he opts registration on his own or he does not register himself, he will certainly be caught by the principal officer in either of the assessment which we have discussed. And hence it is important to furnish accurate information and pay tax due on a timely basis as per the due dates laid down. Self-assessment done appropriately ensures that assessment is not initiated by the tax authority. This is an important precaution that needs to be taken by taxpayer. In a case where an assessment is initiated by the tax authority, as they have their own right, a dealer must ensure to furnish the information and ask for by the time given, because everything is time bound. So a dealer has to play his actually do his work within time. Likewise, the proper officer will also do the processing within time. Businesses must make use of the facilities of compliance and technology to remain compliant under GST. GST is entirely technology based. In the next unit, we will see the wonderful infrastructure, the technology that has been deployed, as well as the service providers that are there to help you. And hence, businesses must make use of the facilities of compliance as well as technology to remain compliant under the GST. Now let us look at Section 59 of the Central Goods and Service Tax Act 2017. Every registered person shall self-assess the taxes payable under this Act and furnish a return for each tax period as specified under Section 39. In the previous slides, we actually saw the details about assessment and returns. Now, slide by slide, we are actually going to go through the sections which talk about assessment and returns. So the first section we did was Section 59. Section 60 of the Central Goods and Service Tax Act 2017 talks about provisional assessment order. Where the taxable person is unable to determine the value of goods or services or both, or determine the rate applicable thereto, he may request a proper officer in writing, giving reasons for payment of tax on a provisional basis, and the proper officer shall pass an order within the period not later than 90 days from the date of receipt of such request, allowing payment of tax on a provisional basis at such rate or on such value as may be specified by him. So this is similar to what we saw about provisional assessment, wherein the taxpayer seeks guidance from the officer relating with the tax that should be paid on a provisional basis. The condition for payment of tax on provisional basis may be as per the condition put by the proper officer. The payment of tax on a provisional basis may be allowed if the taxable person executes a bond in such form as may be prescribed and with such surety or security as the proper officer may deem fit, and it is binding on the taxable person for payment of the difference between the amount of the tax as may be finally assessed and the amount of tax provisionally assessed, including the interest, as we saw in the previous slides. What is the time period for passing the final assessment order? A proper officer shall, within a period not exceeding 6 months from the date of communication of the whatever the information of the passing of the final assessment order. So 6 months is the period from the date of communication. After taking in account such information as may be required for finalizing the assessment. As I said before, interest on any tax payable on the supply of goods or services or both and the provisional assessment needs to be paid. The registered person shall be liable to pay interest on any tax payable on the supply of goods or services or both under provisional assessment, but not paid on due date at the rate specified under subsection 1 of section 50 from the first day after the due date of payment of the tax in respect of the said supply of goods or services or both till the date of actual payment, whether such amount is paid before or after the issuance of the order for final assessment. So there should be no loss to the government because the taxpayer has opted for a provisional assessment. Just like the interest needs to be paid, if there is any excess, the refund shall also be provided. So where the registered person is entitled to a refund consequent to the order of final assessment, interest shall be paid on such a refund as provided in section 56. So the taxpayer is also not at loss, as if there is any refund due, he would be eligible for refund also. Section 61 of the Central Goods and Service Tax Act relates to scrutiny of returns. The proper officer may scrutinize the return and related particulars furnished by the registered persons to verify the correctness of the return and inform him of the discrepancies noticed, if any, in such manner as may be prescribed, and seek his explanation thereto. In case the explanation is found acceptable, the registered person shall be informed accordingly and no further action shall be taken in this regard. So this section talks about scrutiny assessment. In case no satisfactory explanation is furnished within a period of 30 days of being informed by the proper officer or such further period as may be permitted by him, or where the registered person, after accepting the discrepancies, fails to take the corrective measures in his return for the month in which the discrepancy is accepted, then the proper officer will initiate appropriate action for the inaction of the registered person. Thank you.